Good morning, and peace be with you. Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Joy Heft. I welcome you into this community of hope and transcendence. Here we seek wisdom beyond our own experience. Here we open our loving minds to the mystery of wonder and moral imagination. Here we transcend the day-to-day lives to seek for truth, both meaningful and sustaining. Here we seek to offer a loving message that provides wholeness in a broken world. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you and, in particular, those who are first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your gray hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. And we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at church. We are glad you are here and hope to see you again on future Sundays. We do have a nursery for infants and young children under the age of 4. Through these doors and to the left, and the first room past the foyer. Our religious education program begins next week when we bless our children on the way to classes partway through the service. At the front of the church, we have a spirit chair, which includes activities for all ages. You're invited to go to the spirit chair at any time during the service to take an activity back to your seat. Children and youth are encouraged to attend religious education programs when we sing and bless our children and youth later in the service. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. Now for announcements. I've been giving like a pile of announcements today, so bear with me. The first one's from Jennifer Lewis. We're looking for volunteers in the RE classroom. Mm-hmm. Nothing is required but your time. If you are interested, please see Jennifer after the service or email her. Jennifer, could you stand up so that everybody can see who you are? Thank you. And from Dawn, special music. We would love to have members who can play music or sing or do a number for the service. We would alternate this guest musicians so that no one has to play every Sunday. Please see Dawn about this if you're interested.
That'd be me.
And this is from Michael Schmidt. Back church. There's a joint service and potluck with Emerson on Sunday, October 2nd. There will be a joint meeting with Emerson Chapel and our church on October 2nd. It will be at the Dr. Edmund A. Babbler Memorial State Park. There will be a short service at 10:30, which will be followed by a day of fun. Emerson is providing hot dogs and buns. Plus, there will be grills for cooking any other meat people would like to bring. Please bring charcoal to grill if you wish to do so. There is no electricity, but a cold side dish to share is welcome, and bring your own drinks. There will be a beer tasting, so bring a bottle or two to offer for tasting if you want to join in the tasting. Carpooling and designated drivers are highly suggested. This is going to be a day of fun and communion with new people from another congregation. This is the second time in our church history we have shared a minister with Emerson, so let us continue to make memories and embrace our shared history with this day of fun. All right. And then there will be no service here on October 2nd.
We'll be signing people up after.
And I guess we will be signing people up afterwards. There's a sign-up sheet after.
Yeah, because they need to know how many hot dogs to buy. Hmm? They need to know how many hot dogs to buy.
Yeah. Okay, from Don, let's see. This is from Don. Announcements. How do announcements happen? There's a basket on the table here. Right over there, there's a basket with pieces of paper like this. That if you just fill out your announcement, and then you can put it on the podium or give it to the worship associate so that we can read it during the service. And lastly, from Dawn is that we're looking for another worship associate. So if you're interested in joining our committee and being up here occasionally, please see Dawn.
Hold on, there's someone in there, I think.
No, that's all.
Okay. Well, hang on just a second. Oh, we do actually have a couple more in here.
Oh,
we've
yeah.
got, I can do these.
You can do that.
Oh, you can sit, we'll be fine. And you just hold, have a seat, you'll be fine. Just a reminder, this week on public television, there's a documentary called Defying the Nazis, The Sharps Wear, on Channel 9 here. It's a story, heroic and largely incredible, of Unitarian Universalist minister Reverend Whitwell Sharp and his wife Martha, who undertook to bring to safety people threatened by the Nazis, produced by Ken Burns, which is a sign of quality, and the Sharp's grandson as well, and featuring Tom Hanks as the voice of Wait Still Sharp. This is a program you don't want to miss. Local times to see it on to broadcast live. Remember broadcast television? So broadcast live. Tuesday night, September 20th at 8 p.m., and then Thursday in the wee morning hours of 2 a.m. it will also be broadcast. So it's certainly worth taping or recording if you can't watch it live. We also want to remind you we have a scent-free zone in our sanctuary during worship. If you're sensitive to chemical scents found in personal care products, you're invited to seek refuge in these pews over here. We also request that you do not sit in these areas unless you are free from chemical scents. Essential oils are usually fine, but most perfumes, colognes, and hairspray stuff are not. One more thing, we ask that you please turn off your cell phones during the service or set them to airplane mode as it monkeys with the sound system. Okay. And now we have an announcement from the person heading up our ministerial search committee. There.
Thank you.
Hi there. So last spring at our congregational meeting, we announced that we would be voting on a new ministerial search committee at our in-gathering, and that's today. Unfortunately, we have not filled out our slate for the ministerial search committee, so I have to apologize for that. We're not going to do the vote today. As past president, I'm heading the nominating committee. So if there's anyone who would like to volunteer for this important job, please see me. I'll be here after the service, or if you want to talk to me online, that's fine. And also, it's important that we start a discussion about where we're going as a congregation and what our future next couple of years is going to look like, who we'll have in the pulpit, and how we'll do that. So that's something you can talk to each other, or you should talk to the board, and I'm sure we'll be setting up some discussion times for that so that we can get feedback. So anyway, I'm sorry that we're not going to have the vote today, but please do see me if you want to volunteer for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe Bill has volunteered to bring the flame from our chalice forward. Bill? Is it? Ben, I'm sorry. My lip reading is not up to snuff. So as Ben brings the flame forward, I invite you to join in our unison words for lighting the chalice that are printed in your order of service and projected above. We light this chalice, symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for life's blessings each day. We are together this morning in a community of like minds and like hearts, a gathering of seekers brought together not by creed, but by common yearning for truth and meaning in this world. This is a congregation of intention and mission, founded in love to nurture growth and healing both within these walls and in the community that surrounds them. This is a group of souls in the presence of the divine as we are every day, but today gathered to seek together to share what we know and what we long to understand in the hopes that we may grow together and create a beloved community. Come, let us worship together. I invite you now to rise in body or spirit and join in singing our first hymn, number 21 in your gray hymnal, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Story called Maboya, Chief of the Well, adapted from a Haitian tale. To whom does the water belong? There was once a drought in the country. The streams dried up and the wells went dry. God saw that there was no place for the animals to drink. God provided a well with the condition that it must be taken care of so all may use it. God said, "You'll have to take good care of my well. One of you will have to be the caretaker. The caretaker will stay by the well at all times to see that no one abuses it or makes it dirty." Maboya the lizard spoke up saying, "I'll be the caretaker." God looked at all the animals. He said at last, "Maboya, the lizard, will be the caretaker. The well is over there in the mango grove." The other animals went away. Maboya went directly to the well. When the other animals began to come back for water, Maboya challenged them. First, the cow came to drink. The lizard sang out in a big voice, "Who is it? Who is it? Who is walking in my grove?" The cow replied, "It is I, the cow. I am coming for water." Maboya called back, "Go away. This is God's grove, and the well is dry." So the cow went away and suffered from thirst. Then the horse came, and Maboya challenged him, saying, "Who is walking in my grove?" The horse answered, "I am the horse, and I am coming for water." And Maboya called back, "Go away. This is God's grove, and the well is dry." So the horse went away, and he too suffered from thirst. Other animals came to the well, and the lizard challenged all of them in the same way, saying, "Go away. This is God's grove, and the well is dry." So the animals went away and suffered much because they had no water to drink. God saw all the suffering going on and said, "I gave the animals a well to drink from, but they are dying of thirst. What is the matter?" And God went to the well. When the lizard heard footsteps, she called out, "Who is it? Who is it? Who is walking in my grove?" God answered, "It is I, Papa God. I am coming for water." And Maboya said, "Go away, Papa God. The well is dry." God was very angry, and he said once more, "It is I, Papa God. I am coming for water." And the lizard called back again, "Go away, Papa God. The well is dry." God said no more to the lizard. He sent for the animals to come to the well. He said, "You came to me because you were thirsty, and I gave you a well. I made Maboya the caretaker, but she gave no thought to the suffering creatures all around her. If one has a banana tree in their garden, it's theirs. If one has a cotton tree in their garden, it is theirs. But if one has a well in their garden, only the whole of the ground belongs to that one. The water is God's and belongs to all creatures. And it is a saying among the people, the hole in the ground is yours, the water is God's."
Each year, many Unitarian Universalists gather for In-Gathering Sunday to celebrate Water Communion. We come together again after a summer away, ready to begin a new church year as a covenanted community. Water is necessary for life. It nourishes our bodies, grows our crops, and covers most of our small blue planet. The water that holds the stones of your joys and concerns will be the first that I put in the common bowl, as it should be. This is the water into which each week you cast your prayers, the things you dare not speak aloud, the things you wish for, prayers for health and healing. That is where we will start. This year, I brought with me some water from Emerson. It seems fitting that First Unitarian of Alton, which shares a minister and a ministry with Emerson Unitarian Chapel over in West County, that these waters should join yours. And the beauty of it is you can't tell which is which. As Unitarian Universalists, we gather
our wisdom teachings from many sources, including many earth-based traditions. Now today, as we celebrate water, the source of all life, I will call the four directions and honor the earth that sustains us. And as we call each direction, now I know, water communion, there are usually three people who bring water, maybe. And everybody goes, I forgot mine. Okay? But you will notice I have multiple vessels here from which you can take water, bless it with the memory of where you've been and what the significance is, and add it to the common pool. So as I call each direction, I would invite those of you who brought water or meant to bring water to this place from that direction to come forward and add your water to the larger bowl. If you did not bring water with you, you can still participate, if that is your desire, and add from one of the containers provided. So first, we look to the east, where the sun rises each morning and whose sign is air. To the east are vast farmlands, dotted with countless lakes and ponds and rivers and streams. Beyond are the Appalachian Mountains, where water wanders through valleys and hollows, and farther, the mighty Atlantic. If you brought water this morning from the east, I invite you to bring it forward now and add it to the common bowl. As people come forward, I would invite you, go ahead. I would invite us to join in singing Gathered Here, which I think we can do a cappella. No, come on. Come ahead forward. You're fine. We'll sing while you do it. Go ahead. So, gathered here in the mystery of Okay. Now let us look to the north and draw on the power of the earth that, nourished by water, sustains us all. To the north are the headwaters of the Mississippi River and its tributaries, the Great Lakes of Huron, Michigan, and Superior, and thousands of lakes in the northern Midwest. If you brought water this morning or meant to from the north, I invite you to bring it forward now and add it to the common bowl. As people do this, I invite the rest of us to sing again. Let's do it one time through, gathered here. Next, we look to the south, source of fire and the sun that warms us. To our south flows the Mississippi, to the point where it joins the sea and the Gulf of Mexico. Also to our south are the mighty Rio Grande River and the fragile bayou wetlands of the Gulf Coast. If you brought water this morning, or meant to, from the south, I invite you to bring it forward now and add it to the common bowl. Nobody went south this summer? All right. No? Okay. I will add some in spirit from the Gulf Coast, from the city of New Orleans, from the city of Baton Rouge that suffered so this summer with floods. We bring their concerns with ours. Join with the South? Excellent. Gathered here? And finally, let us call to the west, whose element is the water we celebrate this morning. To our west lies the great Missouri, as well as the Colorado and all of their tributaries. Further west, the snow-covered peaks of the Rocky Mountains that feed the aquifer that is the Great Prairie. Beyond that, the Pacific Ocean, where typhoons are born and the phenomenon of El Nino originates. If you brought water this morning from the west, I invite you to bring it forward now, or meant to, and add it to the common bowl. Gathered here? This water is mixed now. We cannot tell the origin of any part of it. The past is blended with the present and ready to provide for the future. Like the stone soup of legend, the bowl now contains water that is more than the sum of its parts. This represents what happens when we come together as a religious community. Each of us adds something that benefits the larger good. This water will come home with me to be boiled and sealed into canning jars, which I will label and keep on the shelf in the minister's study. Some of the water will be used during the year to feed the bowl of stones and prayers. Some will be used to bless babies. And some will be saved for next September to bring forward what we have created here today to seed the coming year. Let's sing one more time. Gathered here.
Our spiritual lives are filled up, our hearts are warmed by the giving of time, talents, love, comfort, and our many other human resources. We each receive from this church the opportunity to explore meaning, purpose, and value in our lives. How does the financial contribution you make here help reflect what you receive? How does our collective money transform those within and beyond our congregation's walls? This morning's offering will be most sincerely and gratefully received. May it be lovingly given. Please join in reciting the offering blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings. We now invite you to rise in body and spirit and join in singing our second hymn, We Would Be One. It is number 318 in your gray hymnal or on the wall above. Each week we take time to recognize the joys and sorrows, the celebrations and struggles of this community. You are invited to write joys and sorrows that you'd like to have read aloud in this book before the service, which is over on the table over there. For things in our hearts that we hold in silence, we recognize them by taking a stone or stones from the bowl as we enter, or from the bowl here on the chancel. We allow the stones to bring us into awareness of those things most important in our life, through thought or meditation. Then place them in the cleansing waters of this community, which includes a little bit of water collected from our annual water communion. If you have a joy, sorrows, celebrations, or struggles you wish to recognize, you are invited to come forward now in a ritual of joy and sorrow.
Let us be in the spirit of prayer. Spirit of life, God we know by many names and by no name, we offer into your care the joys and sorrows of the people gathered here. We hold in our prayers this morning the community of Chelsea in Manhattan, where an explosion last night caused injury and chaos, but thankfully cost no lives. We hold in our hearts the people affected by violence and terrorism all over the world. We pray for our elected leaders that they be guided by hearts filled with compassion to serve those who are most vulnerable in our society. We pray for those who are distant from us, separated whether by geography, time, or conflict unresolved. We pray for those who are sick and suffering, for those who would seek comfort, shelter, and safety, for those who thirst, whether for water, dignity, or justice. All of these we commit into the care of the universe and the divine, however we know it. Amen.
This morning's reading is an excerpt from Half Broken Horses, a novel by Jeanette Wells, in which she tells the story of her grandmother's life on the Texas frontier. At the conclusion of the reading, we will enter into a time of silent reflection and meditation. The water you kids were playing in, he said, had probably been to Africa and the North Pole. Genghis Khan or St. Peter or even Jesus may have drunk it. Cleopatra might have bathed in it. Crazy Horse might have watered his pony with it. Sometimes water was liquid. Sometimes it was rock, hard ice. Sometimes it was soft snow. Sometimes it was visible but weightless clouds. And sometimes it was completely invisible, vapor floating up into the sky like the souls of dead people. There was nothing like water in the world, Jim said. It made the desert bloom, but also turned rich bottomland into swamp. Without it, we'd die. But it could also kill us. And that way, that was why we loved it, even craved it, but also feared it. Never take water for granted, Jim said. Always cherish it. Always be aware of it.
It has been said that life on this planet is only possible because of the presence of 6 inches of topsoil and water. Water is ubiquitous. It is everywhere. We use it for everything from holy rituals to saving lives to washing our socks. Our water ceremony today was created by Unitarian Universalist women in the 1980s as part of a retreat workshop gathering of women who came from a variety of different places. The lay leader who created the event, Lucille Shuck Longview, along with Reverend Carolyn McDade, asked some of the women to bring water with them when they came. And at that event, at the ritual, the women stood in a semicircle around an earthen bowl. And as each woman poured the water into the common bowl, she shared the significance of that water. Some came from the ocean, others were collected rainwater, some from the streams fed by melting glaciers. The seventh principle, the one that calls us to affirm and promote respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, came to life in a very real way as the waters mingled and formed an ever larger whole. Today, many of our congregations use this ritual at our annual ingathering services, as we did this morning. Water is the essence of life. It is holy and precious and powerful. In high school, I remember we learned about the six simple machines. Who can name them? Lever and fulcrum, wedge, screw, that's the one that always gets me, pulley, lever, yep, lever and fulcrum, inclined plane, is it dopey or dock, axle and wheel, fulcrum, lever and fulcrum, wheel and axle, pulley, inclined plane, wedge, and screw. A simple machine is described by Wikipedia as a mechanical device that changes the direction or magnitude of a force. The six tools we just named were defined by scientists in the Renaissance, and the list has not needed to be updated since. Certainly, we have more and better tools now than we did then, but none that simple. Now, to that list, I would add water. Well, water and gravity. In all three of its naturally occurring states and in the liminal spaces between, water is a tool. As liquid, water weighs around 8 pounds per gallon. The force of a wave can knock over a person or a building, and the weight of water through the water wheels first allowed people to grind grain in simple grist mills, and later turned massive turbines to power factories and cities and more. The river that flows past this town is a thoroughfare, a slow-speed highway that carries freight and fish and mud from far upstream in Minnesota all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. Along the way, it has been dammed and docked and locked to do the work of humans. But the river is its own master. And when the rains come and it is well fed, it surges to its full strength and reminds us again of the power of water. As a solid ice and glaciers has scraped and shaped the landscape of North America, moving topsoil from mountains onto plains and placing boulders in ridiculous places and high mountain meadows. Ice can lift mountains and support massive vehicles if it's thick enough, and a simple icicle can be deadly when it falls from a height. When water freezes, it expands, which makes it like a wedge. Ice can split apart rocks if you've got enough time. It widens each year the cracks in sidewalks and highways. It can burst the container that holds it, and when it gets into the ground and freezes, it can shift roads and culverts and house foundations. As vapor, water can power all manner of things, from factories and trains to the whistle in your teapot. Clouds deliver water in liquid form, of course, and sometimes as frozen flakes, but driving wind before them. Water can be used to weigh down an object, but enough of it can float a ship the size of a skyscraper. Balance, of course, is the key. Not enough water means plants and animals cannot survive. Too much water can damage crops and buildings and whole cities. When water is clean, it is a grand and glorious thing. But when it is polluted, it becomes worse than useless. It becomes a danger to life instead of a giver of life. Water has been in the news a lot these past few weeks. Water protectors at the Standing Rock Reservation in North Dakota are putting their bodies on the line to try and stop an oil pipeline from crossing the Missouri River just a mile upstream from their community and ancient sacred burial grounds. A sinkhole at a Florida fertilizer plant leaked 215 million gallons of radioactive water into the aquifer there 3 weeks ago. Last week, 250,000 gallons of gasoline was spilled in rural Alabama. A pipeline owned by Shell ruptured in Texas last week, spilling oil into a bayou. In Canada, 400 barrels of oil were spilled when a train derailed in northern Ontario. In a proverb attributed to a variety of different First Nations people, we are warned only when the last tree has died, the last fish has been caught, and the last river has been poisoned, will we realize we cannot eat money. This week, this month, it has all seemed so much more immediate. In the science fiction novel Dune, Frank Herbert describes a desert world in which the natives, freemen, have developed ways to maximize every drop of water, both in their bodies and from the world around them. In a desert planet where rain never falls, the freemen are an occupied people, planning and saving over the course of generations, stockpiling water in vast underground caverns, planning for the eventual day when they were able to claim their planet as their own and use their water to plant crops and grow food. In the book, the story's protagonist is taken in by the freemen. In one of the starkest scenes in the book, they show him their underground reservoir. "Our water is your water," they tell him. And he sees millions of gallons of water, kept so carefully, saved only through the collected efforts of the entire population, by a cultural unity and will to preserve their future survival to the point where they risk daily dehydration in order to conserve that water. It is not dissimilar, that story is not dissimilar to the more real and more recent instance in the last century when scientists starved to death guarding heirloom seeds that are being saved for use after a catastrophic disaster. Our fragile planet is in a dangerous spiral toward environmental failure. We are fools if we do not recognize this. Our oceans are warming, seabirds are dying from the pollution we dump in the seas, and our privileged way of life is about to become profoundly cramped. We are about to learn here in America what much of the rest of the world already knows, that clean water is more rare and precious than we think, that using potable water to flush our toilets is obscenely wasteful, and that we are more interconnected and interdependent than our American exceptionalism would presently permit us to consider. Water is precious and it is holy, and it is a thing that we share. It binds us, it makes us live. Our bodies are mostly made of water and carbon. We are, as the joke goes, essentially cucumbers with anxiety. The air we breathe is laden with moisture that soothes our lungs. The water we drink is made of hydrogen and oxygen atoms that have been on this planet since the Big Bang. They have been breathed in and exhaled, consumed and released by countless creatures through the ages. Carl Sagan tells us that we are made of star stuff, and it's true. The elements that make up our planet have been here always. They cannot be created or destroyed. They can be combined and separated, but the bits remain the same. We are made of the same hydrocarbons that made the dinosaurs and Caesar, King George and Jesus and Buddha and the lowest grasses on the plains. This, we are all connected. We are bound by this thing called water, this beautiful, magical, fragile compound of two gases. I want to challenge you this week to be aware of your water. Yes, your water. The water you drink, the water you let run down the drain while you brush your teeth or do dishes, the water you use to wash your laundry and to cook. Notice how much water is simply poured out, either down the drain or on the ground. We are dependent upon water. We are interdependent with the other beings on our small blue planet. I would challenge us to remember the water that we've shared here and treasure the water in our homes in the same way we treasure the spiritual connection of this religious community. I pray that we as people begin to act as though we grasp the gravity of our vulnerability. That is my prayer. May it be so. I invite you now to rise in body or spirit and join in singing our final hymn, Forward Through the Ages. It is number 114 in your gray hymnal. The lyrics will also be projected up above. We leave with a prayer this morning from Thich Nhat Hanh. Water flows over these hands. May I use them skillfully to preserve our precious planet. Let us go forth from this place refreshed in spirit, deepened in our conviction, inspired by our compassion to love and serve the world and its people. The service begins when the service ends. Go in peace.